What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is July 29th, 2025, as you're watching this. We're recording this on Monday, July 28th at about 2 p.m. on the left coast. This is Weekly Skews. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good, man. Got a fun one today. A little lighter than some of our heavy episodes, I hope. We got to do it. Unfortunately, we have to do another Jeffrey Epstein update because it's everything that's happening in American federal politics right now, but then some stuff in Oklahoma and also what's going on with American gun culture and capitalism. It's a fun little story about police guns spontaneously shooting cops in the leg a lot.
The Barney Fife effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so before we get to the show, I do want to talk about, listeners who've been around a while will know that I'm fascinated by the internet making low-cost psyops a possibility,
Mm-hmm.
I got a fun one. Somebody's trying to get Pedro Pascal canceled using AI videos of him, like, harassing his co-stars. So I don't know if that's just a meme because the right wing hates Pedro Pascal for reasons that I don't even bother getting into. But, like, I just get curious when reactionaries start using social justice language to defend women. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. Is it just because of him, like, because he defended Bella or something, like Bella Ramsey when all that shit was happening and he went to bat for Bella?
He's also got a trans sister, which is an important element of that. Like, if you guys aren't familiar with the stupid fandom around The Last of Us, a bunch of, like, internet psychos think that Bella Ramsey isn't hot enough to play the child they played in a video game.
Yeah.
So therefore Pedro Pascal needs to stop living or something. It doesn't matter. But I was doom scrolling, as is my wont when my wife is watching her shows and I'm sitting on a couch, rolling my eyes at, Bachelor in Paradise. Cambodia, and I came across some fun videos I'll get to in a second, but for context, Cambodia and Thailand are in a border dispute. The broad outlines here, we don't call war anymore. It's just a border dispute.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So shooting artillery back and forth at each other and killing each other is not a war anymore.
Yeah. Well, a skirmish or a fracas, like that.
Yeah. So basically a Cambodian troop was killed back in May. And then after that, the ruling families of the two countries kind of are like close friends or were. And there's a leaked phone call after that with a prime minister of Thailand, who's the daughter of the billionaire who actually runs the country. There's like a leaked phone call where she called the prime minister of Cambodia uncle and insulted her own military. All right. So since then, face saving, right?
Following through war, face saving through, shooting troops and stuff.
So as of last time I checked, 35 people have been killed, 200 injured, more than 200,000 people have been displaced. And then of course, Trump's trying to get involved to get his peace prize, right?
Right.
Lead to this headline: Thailand and Cambodia still fighting after Trump announces ceasefire talks. So Trump's like, we're doing a ceasefire, and they're like, nope, we're still shooting each other, but just give him a peace prize so he can fucking leave other people else alone. Let's
sure shit. I thought, just apropos of nothing, but I do a Patreon thing every Monday where I get on and like see what's going on in the news, like at the moment, get on Google News or whatever, and I did that earlier today, and they had a headline from the BBC that had just come out that I thought that said there was a ceasefire or something. It was about, because I didn't even know that they were even doing a thing, because I'm very ignorant and out of touch. But I was like, oh, ceasefire. Well, that's good, I guess. I prefer fire be ceased. But
if they're guarding the border, like this kind of situation, it always seems to me the only way to actually de-escalate it is to pull the troops away from the border, which you're not going to do because you're afraid the other side is going to invade. Because like if the troops are sitting at the border looking at each other and their buddy just got killed yesterday, they're going to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know exactly where they're at right now. But over the weekend, I started seeing competing viral videos, air quote around viral, because I have no idea the authenticity of it. But I had no idea why my algorithm was showing them to me. The first one I saw was like a Thai artillery unit firing shells set to Fortunate Son.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why I needed to see that, why the Thai military or somebody associated with the Thai military wanted me to see it.
War stuff over there in that part of the world, and Fortunate Son is the official anthem of all war stuff in that part of the world, which of course has always been ironic, it's what people, things are exploding in Southeast Asia. People just start to hear Fortunate Son playing in their head, I think. So they're saving you some steps.
Right. But is that sort of a giveaway that the target audience is American or at least Western?
Right.
right? Yeah. Because I don't know how popular Creedence Clearwater Revival is in Thailand. Then I saw this video. The caption for this video is, "No armor, no fear, just a cigarette and rage. Cambo storms Thai positions like a one-man army. The Cambodian Rambo is real." Okay, watch this video real quick. All right. Cambodian Rambo just shot 12 shots, single fire. Nate picks up an RPG if you lay a playmat. So this video,
this is like watching like one of my cousins fight a war or something. Like if they were Cambodian, he's like barefoot with no shirt on and a fucking cigarette hanging out of his mouth. So he's kind of like bouncing as he fires and shit, and he shoots the rocket off and explodes everything around him. So it's like looking good old boy warfare.
So again, I have no idea. I have no way of verifying the provenance of this at all. It's just a guy in a shirt in the jungle shooting a gun who I'm being told is a Cambodian Rambo, even though he backfires the RPG and blows up his own shit. It's the only thing we actually see him do, right? By the way, I saw a follow-up post. He's in the hospital now. Then the capper to this is like, so we used the Thai artillery, Cambodian Rambo, and now surfed across this, definitely... I almost definitely think it's got to be an AI video of an elephant with sidearms wearing pants. Yeah, you cut the audio back. I guess we know how an elephant wears pants now. It's like this. He's got American-made weapons, of course, right? He's wearing a camouflage elephant. And I have no idea why the Thai military wants, like, why Cambodia and Thailand are fighting over my heart and mind personally, it feels like. But I just want to tell the Thai army that I'm here for as many videos you can make of elephants wearing pants.
Elephants wearing pants. I didn't know that I needed it, but now it's the only thing that I need. Now that I've I've always liked baby elephant gifts and stuff. Maybe if next you put a baby elephant in pants, but I don't want it implied that baby elephants are on the front lines getting sent to war over there in Cambodia. That would be sad.
So if you see an update like where the U.S. military is giving assistance to Thailand, it's because Trump saw a video of elephant wearing pants, almost definitely.
Welcome to the future, baby. All right, producer Matt is with us. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, of course, I got some orders of business. As always, first, if you'd like to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. I was just in the Midwest, Omaha, Des Moines, Kansas City. Those were all great. Thanks for everybody who came out to those. Next up is Indianapolis, then Austin, St. Louis, and a whole bunch of other places after that in the fall. So go to treycrowder.com and check them out. You can also find a link to my most recent special, Trash Daddy. If you haven't watched it, please do. If you are interested in producer Matt's side project audio exclusive called Good Skews, you can get that by subscribing to the podcast version of this show. It's an audio exclusive. It's producer Matt interviewing good people doing good things meant to uplift your day. So check it out. And finally, if you enjoy this program and want to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month, you get 2 full-length bonus episodes. We got another one coming up this week. It's just regular additional episodes of this show, except sometimes we do Q&As where we answer your burning questions. So get some more skews in your life. Support the show in the process. Consider signing up on Patreon. Now, Mark already told you earlier what we're getting into a little bit later, but you know, first, like always, we have to start with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, people who think anything other than a very normal American red-blooded non-sex weirdo would blast Broadway show tunes from his golf cart.
Are you enjoying the Scottish hospitality?
There were Sky News questions, sure.
Mr. Trump, can you escape the Jeffrey Epstein crisis?
Maybe that's why we heard this.
What's that song?
I don't know, it's very famous.
It's from a musical, yeah.
All right, that's Memory from Cats.
Guys, from the convoy of golf carts.
Yeah, so he's blasting Memory from Cats from his, like... motorcade of golf carts. So I'm not super familiar with Cats. It's not one of the Broadway musicals I've ever been interested in. But just, I was like, I bet you there's something really heavy-handedly metaphorical about this. And I went and looked it up. And Memory is sung by a former glamour cat who's fallen on hard times, remembering a time before she was an outcast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, so, a lot of people, it's become a meme on the internet in recent years, which I certainly understand that, like, Trump was meant to be like a bitchy drag queen or whatever, and that's what his destiny was, and he's perturbed the universe by going in a different direction by doing politics and stuff. And there's people like, there's a guy who's gotten very big who's hilarious, who just like, he like lip syncs Trump's videos, but in while being very flamboyantly gay physically as he does it or whatever. And he loves Broadway and show tunes and stuff. He loves like talking shit. People like dig up all these old clips of him on like fucking like Wendy Williams type shows or whatever, just like commenting on people's relationships and stuff. He very famously had that Twitter thing where he got hung up on Kristen Stewart cheating on Robert Pattinson and all that type of thing. So it's like, it does all fit. And, you know, I long for the universe where that's all. He was just sitting beside RuPaul on Drag Race, just fucking, you know, calling people bitches and stuff. That would have been much better than this.
He was definitely not meant to be straight, but the, people think like his Rosie O'Donnell beef is about politics, but that goes back to like 2003 when it was like a media beef. And that's like the WWE staged a Rosie O'Donnell versus fake Donald Trump wrestling match in like 2005 or something.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that all happening. I don't remember what the context was, but I remember them having a public beef. They were the Nas and Jay-Z of whatever that is, reality TV, daytime TV. I don't know, but
yeah. So as we recorded on Monday this morning, he was he had a meeting with, I think it was some higher up, some British or Scottish PMs or something. And he was asked a bunch of Epstein questions like he was in the golf cart. And he said, I never had the privilege of going to his island. It was one of my very good moments. I turned it down. I never had the privilege. That's interesting.
It's a very weird way to put it. Now, again, I saw Twitter and a lot of people making a whole lot of that. Look, it's a very bad look. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, the way he be with words and shit, like, you know, like, because he followed it up with being like, one of my proudest moments is I turned it down, which that's also kind of funny. That being a highlight of your life is like denying yourself the temptation to go to Pedophile Island or whatever. But still, he said that after calling it a privilege. So, you know, it's just him not words and good, I think, which, again, he does all the fucking time. But
no, for sure. I think that was just a bad turn of phrase, but it is important. Like, if you were a regular person, if you weren't above the law in the situation and you tried talking like that, your lawyer would trank dart you in the neck. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, no one's caused more like hypertension amongst the lawyer community, I don't think, than Donald Trump on an individual basis.
By the way, I'm not a lawyer, but you guys do not talk publicly about any crimes you're accused of like Donald Trump does. Just do not talk. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Right? Also, about you said this was a trip to Scotland he's been on or whatever. And I can't remember what position this guy held in Scotland, because obviously the UK PM was there, but there was some high-level Scottish official who didn't come to this event and didn't meet with Trump and was supposed to, and they asked him why, and he said, I was too busy washing my hair, right? And he's balder than you are, no one can be balder than you, but he's as bald as you. Like, he doesn't have hair, and that was the excuse he gave. So I was, you know, cheeky little fuckers up there in Scotland. I appreciate them.
Yeah, enjoy this. The Scots and the Irish and big fans. The other thing you said, this is pretty weirder to me, and you gotta, like, this needs some interpretation, so... Trump said, for years, I wouldn't talk to Jeffrey Epstein. He did something that was inappropriate. He stole people that worked for me. Okay, so the two versions of their split and their friendship, all right, the public one's always been that, like, a falling out over a land deal where Trump outbid Epstein for a piece of residential property, right? And the second one, the MAGA lore, is that Trump caught Epstein hitting on the daughter of a member of Mar-a-Lago and banned him from the club. Right. But so he stole people that worked for me. Virginia Giuffre, probably the best known of Epstein's victims, successfully won a lawsuit, died of suicide earlier this year. She was a pool girl, a spa attendant at Mar-a-Lago, who was recruited by Ghislaine Maxwell and then abused by Epstein. And so is he talking about Virginia Giuffre there?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah. There's a lot of people, or although this, we wouldn't call this stealing, I guess. There's a lot of speculation and stuff that Trump was part of like a pipeline effort because he had all those like pageants and shit like that. And we talked last week about how he held that like calendar girl party that only Epstein came to and that sort of thing. But it's like Trump had access to, you know, all these very pretty underage girls and shit through his totally legitimate business ventures and stuff. And then that was, you know, part of their whole connection or whatnot. But I don't know the specifics of how that would then lead to a falling out. You know, they couldn't come to agreement on the terms of their like, you know, beauty queen trafficking operation. I don't know.
Well, man, like even removing like, let's talk about decency and morality of just remove that from the equation for a second, because that doesn't really apply in these elite circles. But like, if you're paying my underage employee for sex, you've looped me into a lot of like a type of legal about accountability in your operation that I would not want to be a part of, even if I was also a criminal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Tony gets mad at Paulie Walnuts for implicating him in shit he doesn't need to know about.
Right. Well, also that particular crime, like even in the world of criminals, is, you know, mm-hmm. not respected or appreciated. They're segregated and stuff in prisons and shit because even regular prisoners or regular criminals tend to draw the line at that.
Yeah, so the fallout from this among Republicans in D.C. has been fascinating to watch. So Thomas Massie, if you guys aren't familiar, Thomas Massie is the kind of congressional lunatic I enjoy very much, because while I disagree with most everything he believes, he does have fucking principles.
Yeah, he definitely sticks to his guns, dude. He seems to not give much of a fuck, or gives a whole lot of fucks. But either way, he's a thorn in their side consistently, mm-hmm. so that's fun.
He's identifies as a libertarian, part of the Freedom Caucus. He doesn't believe in American foreign entanglements, which, you know, is a bummer for me when it comes to foreign aid, but also doesn't believe in Middle Eastern wars, doesn't want to send weapons to Israel, also doesn't want kids to have health care. So whatever, but he's 60, he has a set of values. All right, so he's been firmly pushing for the release of, like, everything the government has on Jeffrey Epstein. And he was on the Sunday shows this week talking about Mike Johnson's basically called him out by name for being a dickhead, and he is a dickhead in a very fun way. He always waits for the opportune moments to ruin his colleagues' lives, and I enjoy it very much. So we quote here talking about Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson basically said Thomas Massie exists to give political pain to the rest of his own political caucus. And he says, Massie says, is the pain he's talking about that somebody in our party will be embarrassed by those files? Then that's not a good excuse. Why is it painful for Mike Johnson to call a vote on this? Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, like, Massie knows the answer. It's not because 100 members of Congress that weren't even in Congress in 2005 or whenever are on Epstein's client list.
Yeah.
It's because, like, people are not thinking about the financial angle to all these files. Like, the people that did business with Epstein Epstein did, even as his announced profession, was help people do tax avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, remember when the Panama Papers came out, and we found out all the world's rich and elite were hiding money all over the globe in Panama, among other places, and all that happened was the reporter who found it out's car blew up?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
right.
Utmost ravenry, that. But,
yeah.
Didn't a Democratic senator or congressman from Oregon just try to, like, publicly petition the DOJ to, like, follow the money, essentially, like, to, mm-hmm. you know, look into this part of it or whatever? Because, you know, it's the old fucking the wire doctrine, man. You know, mm-hmm. follow the money. Follow the money. That's it.
Yeah. Follow the money. You don't know where the fuck that shit's going to go, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a quote from Lester. Like, you can make a case, a hell of a case. Any political party that wanted to win could get a hold of this information you can make a case that cracking down on white-collar crime and tax evasion is part of the whole response to the Epstein thing, which is what would be a huge problem for Mike Johnson and his caucus and Donald mm-hmm. Trump. Right? It's basically, this is how we get to left-wing populism, which would frustrate not just Mike Johnson, but also Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries.
Right.
Anybody that wants power here, once a mass political movement, it can tie to Jeffrey Epstein. Like, why people are so caught up in conspiracy theories right now. Here's the numbers. From 1979 to 2019, wages after inflation rose just 3% for those in the bottom, 13.7% for those in the true middle, but 160% for the top 1% earners, and 345% for the top 0.1%. Stuff like higher minimum wage and increased taxes and the wealthy are blocked by big money in politics and take over corporate journalism. And so everybody's rage just flows into conspiracy theories.
Right.
releasing the documents about what Chepstein was actually up to with his money and who was in business with him and who's helped hiding from taxes that should be going to build schools and bridges and pay for higher minimum wage and shit like that.
Yeah,
that
no.
would be. Yeah, that'd be the real.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, it's all about, as we've also, you know, said last week, it's all about just like elite impunity or whatever. Like, it's all just sort of baked into the same. Like, these people have been fucking the rest of us over to our face, essentially, for the past 50 years or whatever. And people are like getting sick of it. But when you have something that highlights the egregiousness of the whole affair to like a broad swath of people, that starts to, you know, that stokes the fire of very dangerous ideas from their perspective. Like you said, left-wing populism. So they have a lot to lose, and so do their masters.
And we're opening in the middle of this moment where they're openly saying the plan is to replace everybody who with a college diploma with artificial intelligence. And Lisa Slotkin can just give a big speech. We've got to increase trade funding so we can all like become carpenters while the robots are our bosses or some shit.
And again, it was always supposed to be the opposite. You know what I mean? The idea was supposed to have been the opposite, like, you know, back-breaking monotonous labor that's demoralizing for people to do and everything like that. Like, maybe one day robots can take that, and then in a just world we take care of the people who are displaced by that and everything else. But the people that are, or the things that people pursue because of a passion or a calling or an aptitude and that type of thing, like, you know, the focuses will be redoubled on those areas and instead of wasted on just fucking in the mines or whatever. And then it's, of course, they're trying to go in the exact opposite direction from that. And, you know, like, fuck all that.
Yeah,
not to be too erudite about it, but it's bullshit.
Yeah, your children have to go work in the lithium mines to make batteries so the robots can write books.
Right.
Your kid will know how to read.
Exactly.
Have you seen the Spotify story? Spotify's ad metrics are based upon AI bots listening to music made by AI. So what's the point of that?
Right. Yeah, right. Who's what? Are they selling ad space to naive buyers that's put on things that bots make and bots listen to? And
I guess
it's a grift. You know what I mean? Like, the people they sell it to don't know that, so they still get the ad revenue. But there's no, it's you know, it's all part of like the dead internet theory too, and all that about how it's like, you know, huge chunk of it is just bots interacting with bots with nefarious intentions and stuff, and it's, everything's just so weird, man.
Yeah, so the defenses for this Epstein stuff like are like get insane to me. But yeah, the Spotify thing, I don't fucking know what the point. Like, these grifts can't last forever because eventually the company's going to notice not selling any more products because nobody listening to the fucking ad. But like, Epstein, like Mark Wayne Mullen, senator from Oklahoma, was
Which, by the way, he needs more shine for being a lunatic dipshit than I feel like he gets. I know that we've talked about him and stuff before, but it's like, you know, like the headliners in that field are like fucking MTG and Lauren Boebert and people like that. But like this dude, his name is fucking Mark Wayne, dude. Like Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma, right? And he's always wearing a fucking cowboy hat and being fucking, you know, wild. So anyway, I know this, I'm glad this is getting some coverage because more people need to be aware of how fucking stupid this guy is. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, he's jacked and wears a cowboy hat. So he presents as authentically Midwestern, even though his money comes from inheriting his dad's fucking plumbing company. I think he's an inheritance fail son, like everybody in Congress is. So, he was on Jake Tapper's Sunday show, and there's a fascinating thing. A lot of our political fights are based upon misunderstanding linear time.
Yeah, and a great many other factors that people misunderstand, I mean, you know what I mean, or willfully misinterpret. But yes, linear time is one of them.
So it feels like 70% of people seem to think that Joe Biden was president in 2020 when COVID took off and we had the first round of lockdowns and then the summer of the George Floyd protests and stuff. Joe Biden, the election happened in November of 2020, and Joe Biden took office in January of 2021. Just to have some grounding in fact, okay?
So, dude, the whole thing centered around when COVID was first happening. Like, that was a huge part of the narrative about the election, was like the way that the Trump administration had bumbled you know, COVID and the response to it at the time was like going to cause people to, you know, vote against him and shit like that. And then him trying, but like, he was just very famously the guy who was there when it started. But dude, some of these people though, like, the most egregious example I can think of of this is sometimes somebody will say something that indicates like that Barack Obama was the president when 9/11 happened. Right. Well, that's, I mean, bro, that's off by almost a decade. But like, but that happens. That legitimately happens with people, like with alarming frequency. So
yeah, like as much as I didn't enjoy like Obama's like response to the financial crisis in 2008, he was not president until January of 2009, and a lot of the huge bailouts of Wall Street were passed under Bush. So everybody forgets that. So anyway, so hold that thought in your head. Let me read this exchange from Mullen and Tapper. Okay, Mullen. There was a sweetheart deal, plea deal that was struck in 2009 under Obama. Tapper, no, it was 2008. The U.S. attorney was Alex Acosta. He was a Bush appointee. He went on to become Trump's labor secretary. Mullen, who was in office at that time? Tapper, Bush. Mark Wayne, no, Obama was in office. No, he wasn't.
Right.
He fucking wasn't.
Right. Which, and Tapper said that, right? He was, yeah. I was like, yeah, that's not true. I know. Yeah, it's, I know. But what do you, I don't, you know, what do you then do with that? Because it's like, I don't know. I feel like if you showed, depending on the person you showed that clip, you could show that clip to people, and there would be people who watch that and be like, "What the fuck is this Tapper guy's problem?" Mark Wayne's telling him to his face that it was Obama. We all know it was Obama, and he's trying to gaslight us into thinking it wasn't Obama. This is what you get from the fucking lamestream media, and it just doesn't matter that that ain't what happened, you know. But what happened hasn't mattered to a lot of people for a long time. So,
yeah, and I don't think that either Obama nor George W. Bush were calling up Alex Acosta. You know, George Bush was his boss, but like was calling Alex Acosta down in Florida and be like, "Hey, give Jeffrey Epstein." It would have been like way down the chain from that, and whatever. So Ghislaine Maxwell's attorney is openly agitating for a pardon, and I don't really think that would play well for Trump. But what do I know anymore? She was convicted of perjury, but it would definitely work on some people. Like I saw this exchange from this woman named Kat, a Republican, called into C-SPAN this week, and the host asked her, "Does the Epstein file story matter to you?" "No, sir, it does not. Because, you know, it's human nature, even when children are used."
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she goes on. This is like, if you want to get in the mind of a average QAnon person, "I was abused when I was 3 years old for the first time, so no, it doesn't have to deal with that all your life, and I'm 74 now." It's hard to get firm studies in this stuff because of who identifies as a QAnon, but people have committed violence and been interviewed in prison. 40% of Q believers were sexually assaulted. A lot of this is just trauma processing.
Yeah, but also this, like, there's been people. This started very early on. We talked about it in previous episodes when the whole the most recent Epstein uproar first started, about people being like, "Look, yes, it seems like he's maybe a pedophile, but he's still a great man," like that type of thing. And also this week, you know, noted lunatic Azalea Banks also like got on Twitter and was like, "Look, guys do this. They fuck teenage girls. It's a thing. It used to be fine," which, by the way, was like, I mean, not maybe fucking 200 years ago, but not like when Trump was 40 or 50 or whatever. But like, anyway, so they're just like, they're already working toward, and I'm circling back to the Ghislaine thing, because it's like, they've already been working towards like normalizing it with nothing, like with nothing to base it, just being like, "I don't even, whatever, I'm fine with it anyway." But that's why, because I know a lot of people have said, like, you know, Ghislaine, she's a known perjurer. It's like, it's such a clearly compromised situation to anyone with eyes, you know, and I get all that. But I still just worry that wouldn't matter, that enough people who are just so desperate for any kind of out, that if they did pardon Ghislaine in exchange for her ostensibly soft exonerating Donald Trump or whatever, that enough people would be like, "Okay, we told you, that's it." And then we're over here fucking pulling our hair out, be like, "What the fuck is happening right now?" But that it just worries me that it could work. But I still think there's other reasons why they might not do that. Or I'm not saying that will happen. I'm just saying I do kind of think that it might work if it did happen, which would drive me insane. I guess that's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you got work is like you're not going to hear a lot of people express that they're disgusted by it or whatever, but they just won't show up to vote in the midterms. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, you also get the next round of stories prompted by the pardon, which like people don't really seem to know what Ghislaine did, but a lot of accusers say that she wasn't just his employee. She was actually involved in the abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. We'll see.
Right, yes, yeah. It's sort of doing that kind of just, like, re-shines a spotlight on her and just how fucked up all of it was all together and your relationship to it, whatever. It's like, is that even worth trying to get people to believe her if she said that you weren't, you know? So it's like, they got to weigh a lot of that out. But I just have no... I've just become very jaded and cynical about a great many things. But all right, next up we got honorable mention, the Oklahoma Deep State for trying to keep Bibles out of science class by noticing a guy is horny. That's right. This is Ryan Walters, the superintendent of the State Board of Education in Oklahoma, which I believe we've talked about before. This guy is like, I couldn't tell you a single other state education secretary or state superintendent of schools or whatever, but I know who this guy is. Like, he's like, that's how crazy. Also, I was just in Oklahoma not long ago, and I've got a whole bit on stage where I talk about schools and public education and shit, and everybody afterwards was like, you know what we got going on, right? And I was like, yeah, no, I know. Ryan Walters, he's a piece of work.
So let me read this headline for you. We're talking about Oklahoma's Trump-loving, Bible-thumping superintendent faces porn probe. Okay,
ain't
so
that just the way.
and you're correct that like if you're a state superintendent of education and the American public knows your, like, if anybody knows your name who isn't like a high school like a school district superintendent, you fucked up.
Right.
You're not supposed to know who you are.
That's true. See, you say you fucked up, but that I think this happens a ton with like state level. Well, seems to me almost entirely state level MAGA or GOP or right wing people where it's like, I think that that's what incentivizes so many of them to be as fucking crazy as possible because it's like, otherwise nobody's going to know what I'm doing here in the fucking, the state house in Tennessee's whatever district. Like you gotta really push the boat out, the crazy ass boat out to get your name on the radar. And I think it incentivizes them to do a lot of this shit in the first place.
Yeah, that's fair. Although usually you need to say the support of your state party to get elected to higher office, and they all fucking hate him, and they have for a long time, which we'll get to. But just to go to what we're talking about. So there was a executive session of the State Board of Education last Thursday, and Walters had a TV on behind him, and I guess he thought he was like sharing a browser, but he shared his whole screen or something, and it played a video of some naked ladies doing some stuff. All right. And
the specifics of the state school board meeting, effectively.
Yes. two women could see it where the way the TV was angled, and they called him out. And we're talking about the fallout from that. So, who Walters is, which Trey's talking about, where everybody knows his name. He's told schools to teach the Bible and the Ten Commandments. He's demanded that students watch him pray for Donald Trump. He named a transphobe Epstein binder sucker, the Liz of TikTok lady, Chaya Rychek, to the State Education Committee. He also tried to use state money to purchase Bibles for classrooms with incredibly specific specifications that only match those that are sold by Donald Trump.
Didn't he also like make it to where now Oklahoma public schools will teach the big lie, basically? Like, he made it a part of the curriculum that they'll teach that the 2020 election was stolen, or at least is controversial.
Yeah, there was some efforts to like teach the controversy or whatever. I'm not sure where they got with it. I didn't know what we were talking about. Sorry. There's a thing where he's like, teachers that come in from out of state to get their certification have to like go through some de-wokification process.
Yeah,
or something.
That too. Well, so it's just a lot. It's a lot of shit with this guy. Like, always.
And this is Oklahoma politics. Like, there are some Democrats, like Oklahoma City or whatever, but in general, it's the most Republican state in America. So everyone we're talking about is a Republican, probably.
Right.
So the board member who saw it, his name is Becky Carson, just how she described it to the Oklahoman. She says, I was like, no, wait a minute. Those aren't naked. Surely those aren't naked women. I saw them just walking across the screen, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I even have to use this language. I'm like, those are her nipples. And then I'm like, that's pubic hair. What in the world am I watching? And this is the part, like, forget that Walter's an asshole for a minute and that everybody does, most people masturbate, okay? This is the relatable nightmare part of it, okay? I said, turn it off now. He was like, what is this? So he acknowledged that it was appropriate just by those words. And he was like, I can't get it to turn off. I can't figure out how to turn it off. It's the real Michael Scott in the Office shit going on. I was remembered, like, I was on one of an old writing job I had for a TV gig. And the writer's assistant, it was her first job. And she was like, got any advice? And I was like, yeah, don't use you porn. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what do you mean? Why should I use you porn? I was like, because you'll be asked to share your screen a lot. And you'll go to YouTube, play videos. Yes. You type YOU, guess what's going to autofill.
Right.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. She's like, oh, I'll use X-Hamster. I'm like, okay, there you go. That's better.
There's a Lil Dicky lyric about that exact scenario. And by the way, that reference is from probably 15 years ago at this point. But yeah.
So here's the really fascinating part of this. So like, while both board members describe the footage as, quote, retro in nature, but not involving sexual intercourse, Ditteridge recalled seeing multiple nude women on the screen in some sort of, quote, chiropractic table. So my question to you is, the Bible-thumping state education superintendent Ryan Walters into vintage erotica tray?
Yeah, well, it says retro, so I don't know about that. But also, I would say I've just heard this from friends and stuff. It's not because of me. I've heard people talk about. But I know that it says chiropractic table. But I know that, like, massage stuff, massage table is a pretty defined genre of porn in the first place. Again, that's just what I've heard, but
fair enough. So this is the general outcry for this. Again, the state, everybody else who works in state politics seems to really hate this guy. So this is like, okay, now we make our move. They've made noise about it before because of his corrupt stuff and wasting state money that's been disappearing into shit. And so a guy who was at the meeting by the name of Chris Vandehend said, my first reaction was, I thought maybe somehow, you know, the Jerry Springer Show got on there and something was blurred out, which is like, we got to get a younger class podcast.
No shit, dude. What? The Jerry Springer Show? Bro, that was 35 years ago. Or like, that's fucking, that's hilarious. They all so old.
Yeah, so Dehen didn't see it, but he said, his basic gist is like, I respect these women. They have no reason to lie. That was also the position of Oklahoma representative by the name of Mark McBride. McBride and Vandehend said both said the next move should possibly be impeachment. The Oklahoma House Speaker by the name of Kyle Hilbert's calling out for Superintendent Walters to turn over his devices and start an investigation. Quote, these are serious allegations made by two members of the state board, and an expeditious third-party review is warranted. So it's basically, okay, Walters, you say you didn't do it. Just hand over your devices, and I'll prove you innocent.
Yeah, you know he don't want to do that, which that's on theme.
Hilbert definitely, if you got this picture of him, Matt, throw it up there, because he's definitely looking, he looks like he's like, this is the face of the Twitter account where he posts a statement, this PH, his avatar, if you want to throw it up there, Matt. that's a little sneaker face that there ever has been one. He's like, give him your devices.
It's also a whole thing where it's like, I mean, correct me if I'm like missing some other context here or whatever, but it's like, it seems like he accidentally screencast some of like his porn when he meant to be just showing another thing to everybody. And it's like, if you just weren't a hardcore Bible thumping lunatic, like in the extreme, like, I don't know. Back in the sane era, that probably would have torpedoed any politician's career either way. But today, I just feel like if you weren't like that, and if you just tried to like, I don't, you'd be like, look, I'm sorry, fucking, that was some stuff meant to be held in private in the Congress of my marriage at home behind closed doors in our bedroom. And technology today, things, I apologize for that. That was an honest mistake. We fucked it up. And it's like, it wouldn't really be that big of a deal, I don't think, if you weren't this guy, you know, and the way he is about everything. And they do this shit to themselves all the time.
Yeah. If everybody didn't hate him, it would be like, if that happened in my workplace, I wouldn't snitch to HR. I'd be like, oh, that's a hilarious fuck up. And it'd be a gossip thing, right? I understand it's different if you're a woman. And like, if you really did feel like you were, that really upset you, I would understand. But like, I think in most contexts, it would be a funny gossip story. Right. So, but this guy has been sending porn to his colleagues for a long time.
Okay, well, never mind. Because I was Because I was actually just about to say, I was like, now look, if everything I just said, if it seemed as though he was like, it was like possibly a getting off on it situation or a pattern of behavior or whatever, then that would be a little different. But yeah.
here's a story from 2 years ago. Pretty graphic. Oklahoma lawmaker confirms Wyron Walters sent him pornographic images. So this is also Representative Mike McBride, who I just mentioned earlier. 2 years ago, apparently there was a mass email where Ryan Walters sent like at least 10 pornographic images to like the entire state legislature and all their employees. And they were like, wait, what the fuck? And he was like, I found these in the school. And they're like, what school? And he's like, never followed up on it. He was just saying there's porn in schools, but I was sending everybody porn.
Yeah. That's wild. Right. So that's how he couched it. He's like, look at this filth. Can you believe this filth? Look specifically at this one here. Like, just, you could zoom in there, zoom in, enhance, please. Look how upsetting this is.
Quoting from McBride, he's like, don't just send me a bunch of graphic, sexually explicit photos without where it came from or what did they do. That's the kind of problem I got with it, McBride said. He's like you just open up your work email, there's a bunch of porn in it, you're like, hey, yo, what the fuck?
Right.
Also, him getting impeached for this is just like Oklahoma's 50th in education. Well, that's not last, out of 51, because Washington, D.C. is involved in the list.
Right. Let me guess. Is it Mississippi? Do you know?
I think it's New Mexico's dead last.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay. Step your game up, New Mexico. It's normally, typically, I know as a Tennessean, whenever we rank very near the bottom of something, which is quite frequent, it's usually like, you know, because that's the cliche for other southern states, is thank God for Mississippi, because normally they manage to scoop us and slip in there at the bottom. But, New Mexico, damn. All right.
So beyond 50, like 50 is good enough reason to like, get rid of this guy. Also, like, not for nothing, because the whole, like, every accusation's a confession thing, and he's, like, sending people porn while playing porn, he's talking about how, like, all these teachers are, like, sexually abusing students and grooming them. He was a high school teacher, like, 3 years ago. Somebody should probably look into what the fuck he was up to. But, like, so all that, plus he's stealing money for overpriced Bibles, and, like, those are all good enough reasons to impeach him. Plus, what this guy's fucking yelling about, if you got this video from a meeting last week, Matt, this is before the porn thing.
All of the bullshit you talked about the first 2 months you were here, because you're a racist. Now I have to sound like a racist bringing it up. Once again.
Thank you, Sean.
That's right. Well, apparently that guy, his name's Sean Cummings. He's like a local pub owner in Oklahoma City. He just goes to the state board meetings to yell at Ryan Walters all the time.
Love it. My man.
Which is why Walters knows his name. He goes, thanks, Sean, for getting flipped off and called a racist.
Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks for coming in, Sean.
So what he's complained about is like, Walters is giving a contract to like, for like, web-based learning to a school, like a private school in Arizona that has been shut down in Arizona. They got maybe an LLC they opened in Oklahoma. The quote here from Sean Cummings. So the companies in Arizona, you said they got an LLC maybe here, but actually the Secretary of State says they don't. We called their offices in Arizona. They said they don't have a building here, but no one knows where the fuck it is. Where's the double, triple hide, man? Where are you hiding this company? So I'm not sure where racism comes to this story, but like he's funneling money to a made-up school, and people know it. And they're like, well, the porn thing we can take him out for, I guess.
Right. Okay. So that school don't even exist in Arizona, or it's some kind of like it's his buddy's thing or someone that whatever. He's got some kind of fucking sweetheart arrangement or something with him.
Nobody knows. Like this is the grift. Like I just read this is a story maybe we'll get to on – I was trying to get the bottom of it. We got a show later this week, but like – my home state of Virginia, there's a company that got a $1.2 billion contract to build a concentration camp. It's registered to a house. It's like a one-bedroom house.
Right.
$1.2 billion. So, like, this is the griftopia is fucking here, dude.
It's insane. I mean, we've talked about it before. It's like you hear these stories all the time, and I'm always like, man, how the fuck do you, like... That's a pretty sweet gig if you have no morals or soul or anything, but it's like all the like no show gigs and stuff that people get once you're in the circle, people just get paid for nothing or given money for essentially fucking nothing. And it's like, they really just do live in like a whole different world. Quick anecdote without giving anybody away. I met someone when I was in Oklahoma who I didn't know. I randomly met this guy who claimed to, he was like a, like owned car dealerships or something like that. And he was like a fan of mine. So Republicans ostensibly don't hit for him, but he was saying that he went to a, like a big dinner, like a fundraising dinner that the governor of Oklahoma had, and it was however many $1,000 a plate, and he paid it and went to it and got introduced to the governor. It was like, yeah, this guy bought a couple seats, whatever, at the thing. And he said the governor of Oklahoma was just like, oh, that's cool. Do you want to be the you want to be the used car commissioner of the state of Oklahoma or whatever, like something like that? Was like a real, he was like, you know, because it's like, that's just how it works. You pay a certain amount, they let you in, now you're in it, and then you get a feedback loop of that. You know, now if you're a car dealership owner and you're the used car commissioner and fucking, you know, you can corrupt that shit up to self-enrich yourself further, and it's like, you know, and they're all just getting fat off of it or whatever. And again, this guy is a fan of mine, obviously a hero. He didn't take it. You know, he's a good person. But he, but yeah, it was just an anecdote I heard when I was in Oklahoma about the way that kind of type of the layers of corruption and shit and how it's cyclical and everything. And, you know, once you get into it, it's pretty fat teat to suckle on.
Yeah. Why would you even want to be a politician when you could be the guy getting paid billions by the politician?
I don't understand. Absolutely.
So, as for Walters, his basic story is that he's been framed. So, quote, these falsehoods are the desperate tactics of a broken establishment afraid of real change. They aren't just attacking me. They're attacking the values of the Oklahomans who elected me to challenge the status quo. Yeah, buddy, I don't think that's it. So I want to talk about the housekeeping thing. Let's save the gun story for the bonus episode because we're going to run out of time, I think, because we got to talk about this sex scandal in Texas I wanted to talk about. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So next door in Texas, this Texas House rep by the name of Giovanni Capriglione.
Spaghetti as hell, buddy. Texas spaghetti. I like it.
Yeah, he's from Southlake. Also, I think that's where Matthew Stafford went to high school. So if you want to, it's a suburb of north of Dallas and Fort Worth. So he and Texas politics, one party state, basically. But there are factions within it that all fucking hate each other. You basically have the new right, alt-right racists versus the old school, Church of Christ, hardcore religious believers. Mm-hmm. Who would never let gambling happen and don't like it. This guy sort of split the difference where he was very religious, but also in the Doge caucus. Is that right?
Right, yes. So, yeah, new right alt tech bro guys who fucking love gambling apps and all that type of shit versus the old Testament people.
So there was a weird fight happening online that Texas politics reporters were – they knew something was bubbling but couldn't tell what it was. In the middle of this, like Cabriglione announced he was not going to run for re-election – at the same time saying he was going to sue somebody for printing a story that hadn't been printed yet. Then comes this headline. Texas GOP Cabriglione admits affair, denies abortion allegations. So 3 days after he announced he was dropping his re-election bid, the conservative news site, again, this is the inter-conservative fight, conservative news site Current Revolt published an interview with a former exotic dancer who alleges she had a 17-year affair with a Southlake Republican. Among the many things I do not understand as a non-adultery enthusiast is a 17-year affair.
I heard that. I thought the same thing. It's like, well, I guess that's just a mistress, right? Which it seems like if you're into adultery, I guess mistresses are a big thing. But I'm with you. It's like, I don't know what, like, that's just like you just have another relationship. But there's guys that start whole other fucking families and stuff.
Right.
So, and who the hell knows? I'd sooner lasso the moon, but.
Yeah. So, there's the hypocrisy angle of this, of course, because Capriglione was like, he's the one who wrote the trigger ban law that allowed Texas to ban nearly all abortions immediately after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. So, they already had a law in place. So, basically, as a result of that bill, performing an abortion in Texas is punishable by up to life in prison. He was also a supporter of the bounty law that Texas passed before.
Yeah, where you could round up a posse and go get a girl who left the state to get an abortion somewhere where it's legal.
I think it's like you get paid $10,000 for reporting a woman getting an abortion in the state. So it's basically a way for guys to like snitch on their exes who dump them and get an abortion.
Yeah, but including a posse is kind of like... It's kind of theatrical, and I like it. It's thematically appropriate.
So it made it a civil offense to quote aid and abet and prohibit an abortion. So like if you donated to like an abortion fund, you're probably on the hook for a civil violation. As a side note, I mentioned he was on the Doge committee in Texas. He helped establish a Texas Cyber Command, which is a fun turn of phrase. Why does Texas need a Cyber Command?
Mm-hmm.
So in the context of this, he says this is why he's being taken down, because he was working on the Doge committee, because they uncovered what he says is a blackmail operation being run by a Medicaid provider. They're like, they're like using private detectives and private intelligence people, corporate espionage people or whatever, to like follow around politicians and journalists. But that's like, that's called Oppo research.
Right. Right.
This is just the world we've created for ourselves where everybody's fucking surveilled. Like, I don't understand why you're the one guy who shouldn't be surveilled in the public figure, but whatever.
Right.
So Cabrini Leone says his wife was aware of the relationship and even encouraged him to go to the red light district in Amsterdam every year. So he's cheating on his mistress too.
Mm-hmm.
And the red light thing, like, I know this is beyond my understanding, but like, I always thought the appeal of having an affair was like the newness of it.
Right. Right.
17 years is like, you got a second wife, dog.
I know. I'm with you. Like I said, it happens.
Yeah. So his wife's encouraged him to go to Amsterdam. She also knows about his exotic dancer side chick who has kids of her own. And like, so we got a Texas GOP polyamory caucus going, I guess. It's not even that, like, there's been other Texas cheating news recently. Ken Paxton's wife, who's also works in state politics, she left him. We'll have to talk about that eventually because there's funny stuff going on in a Texas Senate primary. But so then we get to the really, really fucking gross part here, okay? You're probably thinking, well, it sounds like it's been pretty gross so far. No. In one of the interview's most explosive claims, the woman's name, her last name is Grace. Grace described becoming uncomfortable when Cabriglione mentioned wanting to ejaculate into batter for cookies that would be sold at his daughter's bake sale.
Bro, what the fuck? Like, even that, Jesus Christ, dog. Like, it ain't enough to just have like a stripper mistress or whatever if you're a Christian conservative. It's like, you got to take it to, you're like, you're fucking splooging and your daughter's bake sale cookies at fucking school. Like, that's bananas, man. And it's like, and it's always who you most expect, right? Like, it's every time there's some new, like a CP fucking treasure trove is uncovered or something crazy like this or whatnot, it's always, you know, a red state fucking, you know, noteworthy Republican local, like regionally. It's net, like, how often has it been a drag queen or a transgender person?
No.
You know, like, I mean, because, you know, any opportunity they had where that did happen, they would blow it up into massive news. You know what I mean? Anytime like a trans kid wins a fucking swim meet, everybody knows their name. If they actually were, you know, doing child predator stuff, these motherfuckers would make sure that you knew about it, about each and every one of them and whatnot. And it's like, when do you ever actually hear about that happening? Hardly, not never, but fucking... Mm-hmm. But a, like, youth pastor or a fucking Texas state rep or, you know, any, like, that type of thing, always up to some sick shit.
And it's like, I didn't realize, like, the through line we had here, but, like, the Trump-Epstein stuff, the fucking Ryan Walters stuff, this Priglione guy, the entire conservative movement's made up of extremely horny guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who want to do stuff they feel like they're not supposed to be doing, and yep. It drives them insane. They make it everyone else's fucking problem.
Absolutely, yeah. The fucking dude, repression and shit. So much of it comes back to that. It's like, that's what starts, you know. And I'm not saying, like, the fucking, like, whatever. Growing up in a repressed society because of the religion you belong to or something is absolutely no excuse to then fucking start coming in Girl Scout cookies and shit. But it's like, it's one of the big problems with that culture in the first place, is that it makes these fucking horn dog lunatics, man, because of what you're saying. Again, it's like, you ain't supposed to do, I don't know. It's,
yeah, I do want to say, like, he admitted to the affair and stuff, but he denies paying for abortions. I watched clips in the interview. She absolutely does not like Cabriglione anymore. So I would say she said that. Right, so like I would say that sounds so egregious that it's made up, except it's very specific. But also, right. if you got online and Google what's a weird fetish someone would feel guilty about, that's probably in the top five results. So I don't know what to make of it. That feels,
yeah, you're
that,
right. Now let's retroactively preface everything I said a minute ago with allegedly or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so everybody knows.
I have no reason not to think ill of this guy. I'm just saying, like, right. I would not piss on him if he was on fire. I'm just saying, like, I just want to, just in context, all these. But this is the problem with, like, we talk about politics on this show, but in general, when you have a system full of so many fucking liars who are all backstabbing each other. What are you supposed to think about this stuff? I have no reason to believe any of his defenses either. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who said he was going to use Doge to improve the health care for the citizens of Texas. His whole life's a fucking lie.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Their whole life, their whole world that they inhabit and everything is nothing but lies. You're just inclined to believe that, you know, somebody says something bad about them, it's probably true. You know, that's mm-hmm. where your head goes, because historically that's pretty good batting average for being correct. So,
yeah, I mean, I keep thinking like, I don't know. So Congress is off for 5 weeks. So I'm wondering what's going to happen with the Epstein thing, because it's not going to die, right?
I mean, I hope not. I mean, that's what I've been worried about the whole time, but it's like, it seems to so far. I mean, what are we, 3-4 weeks in, 3 weeks or something in now? And it's like, it seems to have legs still. Like, it seems to still be sticking around, and I hope it continues to do so. But yeah, because I was wondering that too, because obviously when Mike Johnson was like, let's just go on vacation instead of doing this, you know, whatever, which mm-hmm. it's like, I made a thing in one of my, part of what I said in the video I made earlier in the bonus version on YouTube, I said, like, it's fun. Attempting that is funny to me, because it's like, if a woman thought her husband was cheating on her and she like asked to see his text messages because she suspected, like, you know, ill conduct in those. And his response to that was, I'm going to Florida. And he just left. Like, that's, it's still kind of the same thing. Like, you fucking, you know, like, it's just a wild move, but
yeah, it's like one of the reasons they shut down Congress. Republican congressmen's phones were blowing up, so he'd already lost 12 defectors. And Democrats, to their credit, were sticking together on this as much as I give them shit. Like, they basically ground Congress to a halt by attaching Epstein stuff to everything that was moving through the House. So, like, I don't think that after finally stumbling upon a winning tactic for the first time in years, I don't think they're going to quit doing it. And I don't, like, all they got to do is find a news hook to get it back in the news, and phones will start blowing up again. And then we get the financial records, and then we get social democracy, Trey. That's the one step.
There we go. Well, hey, if it gets us there, I'll take it. But real quick, because that's the end of that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm on Patreon, by the way, on my my Patreon is shared with Skewses, but on my personal Patreon, I also do Q&As every 2 weeks. And this week someone accidentally gave me a Skews question on my mm-hmm. thing. And I told him if I remembered, I'd run it by you. So I'm just going to give you, it's a long ass fucking question. I'm just going to give you the brief version of it mm-hmm. from John E. Jorgensen, who says, there's a lot of rope-a-dope involving all the tariff discussion. Taco Don's tariff strategies, he says. He basically just says, what's actually going on here? Aren't these just a national regressive sales tax? Here's my big question. How is tariff money going to be funneled back into the government to help revive American industry and bring back jobs? Or is the sole purpose just to lower the trade deficit, which in some cases is a good thing? From where I'm sitting, this seems like a regressive tax, one that asks more from the wealthiest, yada, yada. So, which that's all true, right? I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's wealthy redistribution. It's a much bigger burden on people at the lower end of the economic scale, just like a sales tax or something is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And Trump's trying to browbeat companies into eating the losses themselves so prices don't go up. That's not a long-term strategy, but like the way it's being implemented, and the real purposes of it are twofold. One, every economist in the world told Trump that it won't work, so it's a fuck you to them, just like oppositional defiance disorder. And two, somebody's front running the market with all these announcements. Somebody's making a bunch of money shorting, going long and short on various things.
Yep. Yeah, because every time a new announcement comes out or whatever, the market goes down and then up, or, you know, or vice versa or whatever. So it's pretty easy to manipulate it that way with this shit if you're on the inside of it.
But I don't have the numbers in front of me because I know we're talking about this. But like, one of the funniest examples of how stupid all this shit is like, American car companies are really fucking suffering because like there's like a 50% tariff on component parts like steel and microchips and stuff. But you can import a completed car for 15% tariff. So hypothetically, if they had plants there, it'd be cheaper for Ford and Stellantis and GM to have cars made in Japan and ship them here than it would be to manufacture them here. So Trump's essentially sabotaging in the name of tariffs to bring jobs back to America. is right. bankrupting American car companies to advantage Japanese car and Korean yeah. car companies.
That right there to me should be the end of the conversation. I mean, yeah. I didn't know that breakdown until you just gave it to me, and I'm sure most people don't as well. But it's like, I just feel like if you could just get that across to pretty much any American, like that one case highlights the reason why it's bad and dumb. If your whole policy incentivizes making an entire car in another country and shipping it here over making them here, then obviously something's wrong with it and it's not going to fucking bring manufacturing back. But
that's why this stuff gets bogged down to whether tariffs are good or bad, but it's not. It's like, no, it's just like, this is just the stupidest fucking way to do it. It's right. Is medicine good or bad? I don't know. Taking Viagra when you're having a heart attack seems bad, but like, mm-hmm. what the fuck? So yeah.
Right. All right, well, that'll do it for us this week. Real quick, reminder, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my tour dates. Come and see me if you're nearby. You'll enjoy it. I'm confident. Also, watch Trash Dad if you haven't. Check out producer Matt's audio exclusive on the podcast version of this show called Good Skews. Check that out. And support the show on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more. Go to Patreon and search for my name. $5 a month, 2 full-length bonus episodes. Either way. If you keep coming back on Skews Days, we will too, and we'll see you 7 days from now. Love you. Bye.